I was a free man of 27 when I enlisted in the 1st Rhode Island Regiment, July of 1777. At the time, I lived in Newport on Rhode Island. I had always taken well and easily to both physical and mental labors, so I used my hands and my mind to make a fair living. I had given my marriage commitment to a gentlewoman who belonged to a family I did steady work for. My Cynthia was my blessing. Now all my labors were dedicated to buying her freedom. But then, the British Navy arrived and blockaded Newport Harbor. The Redcoat Army occupied the town. The white families that had employed me fled to Massachusetts ahead of the British. Cynthia had no choice but to leave with her mistress. Suddenly, I had neither work nor the certainty when, if ever in my life, I would see my Cynthia again. The times were dangerous and unsure. I was a Negro unattached by slavery to any of the Newport families who welcomed the presence of the British. My only escape seemed to be by the military route. Any freed Negro who enlisted was promised a suit of clothes, farmland, and a cash bounty. By the winter of 1777, the Rhode Island Regiment was encamped with General Washington at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. A British army commanded by General Howe occupied Philadelphia. When I first arrived at the encampment, we could not be called an army, but rather an ever-changing number of half-naked, freezing rabble. 3,000 had deserted since the beginning of the encampment. The rest cursed and insulted their officers to the point of small mutinies. General Washington's army was dissolving before his eyes. Each squad of 6 men was charged with providing its own shelter. My squad was more fortunate than many others. We had 2 men, myself included, with sound carpentry skills. A hut required nearly 40 logs to be cut from whatever stand of trees the men could find and then hauled by hand. We hit upon a variety of ways to make mortar from the frozen ground, but the best was to use our cooking kettle to heat water and pour it on the ground. We would then quickly scrape the loosened clay before the ground refroze. Until a squad could finish its hut, it was forced to live in thin-sided tents or be exposed fully to the elements. But I'd gladly give testimony to one thing that occurred throughout that endless, painful winter. The little food and cheer we had, we shared equally. Black men among white men, white women among black women. And a true colonial army was born.